Oh, I just thought of a song we should have used for Tony Fulmer.
What song, Wendy?
Let It Grow by Eric Clapton. Because he's so good at it. Tony Fulmer in the studio with us from the chalet. It is fall time. Who says fall time?
You just did.
It's fall. Yeah. It's autumn. It is time to do some different things to the plants in our yard, yes. The shrubs.
Yes.
What do we need to do?
Right now, the most critical thing, even though it's raining a little bit out there, is water, water, water. It is bone dry. Anyone that has tried to go out in their garden and dig anything or plant anything, for the most part, it's really dry. And I was gone for 3 weeks on vacation. I just came back, and I only had an inch and a half of rain in my rain gauge for 3 weeks.
This was the rainiest summer? Because I don't think that's true.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
Just coming back from the airport and looking at plants, I could see trees that were already defoliating and they were scorched and brown, which is just a factor of dehydration.
No, they said it was the rainiest.
No,
summer.
I understand, but that was a certain point. It was a rainy spring and early summer.
Oh.
But most recently, I mean, for those that garden, if you get out and dig around in your lawn or dig around in your garden, you will find that it is bone dry.
So even though we see all the mist almost constantly this time of year, is there such a thing as too much water for plants? Can you overdo it?
Of course, but that we're not anywhere close to that. I mean, it's really, really, really dry. So people should be prioritizing, and anything that has been planted, whether it's a perennial or a tree or shrub, they need to make sure that they water it on a regular basis up until the time the ground freezes.
All right.
That's really important.
All right. You brought a really beautiful wedding gift for Kevin and Sarah. Kevin won't be back. We have to take care of it until he comes
Pressure's
back.
Pressure's on.
Can you explain what it is? Because I have never seen or heard of anything like this, and you said it's all the rage these days.
Well, the rage is the air plants, and they are bromeliads, and they survive by taking moisture from the air. And so there are a lot of different, there's a big, 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 big family of them, so they look a lot different. There are a lot of different kinds, a lot of different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I brought in has the tillandsias are hot glued onto a driftwood sculpture. And so basically the care is to keep them out of, most of them, out of direct sun. And then once every 5 to 7 days, depending upon the type, take them to the shower or to the bathroom and just mist them lightly. And that'll pretty much do it.
So we have to do that twice before they come back?
Twice before Kevin comes back would be a good idea.
You want to do it, Bill?
Yeah, I'll do it.
I'll take one. And that way, if something happens.
So don't actually shower with them, but bring them in the room with you when you're showering.
That is correct.
All right.
That is correct.
That's the mistake I made last time. Why? How does.
keep your back turned to them.
Always.
Please. Always.
Because I'm shy.
And drop the soap.
That's for sure. How does something like this become? You just said they're all the rage. So how did that happen? How does a plant all of a sudden become the thing to own? What happened there?
I think it's like any kind of fashion.
Yeah.
Something catches someone's eye.
Yeah.
And in the case of plants, it needs to be they look contemporary.
Totally.
They're very contemporary looking, and they're also really, really forgiving of minimal maintenance. And so that was very easy. And so since they don't need soil and they don't need a container, that makes them really, really useful for all kinds of different applications, you know, putting them up on walls or hanging them from ceilings or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just all kinds of different applications for them. And again, I think a lot of it's the look. They're contemporary, and they just don't require any care at all.
They look great. And you mentioned part of it is a sculpture. Part of it isn't a plant at all. It's just something they've added on.
Driftwood.
Is that right? Is that what it is?
Right,
driftwood?
Right. Yeah. It's just a driftwood sculpture, and then we just hot glue gun those on with some moss.
That
really
was very
cool.
Nice of you to do that for him.
It's my pleasure.
I'm sure
on
he will love it.
On behalf of Kevin and Sarah, we thank you very much.
Well, just so they get alive next when they come back.
Mm-hmm.
We'll work
pressure's
on.
On. Yep.
I have not gardened at all this summer. I told you this off the air. I did not weed. I did not water. I didn't do anything. And I have to tell you, this is the most beautiful my hydrangeas have looked, all my perennials. It's the best they've ever looked, although there are tons of weeds around it.
Did you get any advice from anyone about hydrangeas earlier in the season?
Hmm.
Yes, you did tell me how to cut them, which taller in the middle, and kind of shape them as I did, kind of like a ball. Unbelievably beautiful. Thank you for the advice.
Great. Terrific.
Chalet Nursery is where you go, and I don't have the exact information in front of me. So what is the address of?
3132 Lake Avenue in Wilmette.
Across from the Pan Express.
Yes.
That's how I find
your
it.
Your favorite, yes, exactly.
That's how I
get
know.
Some orange chicken and get some orange blossoms.
Right. They have a package deal going the month of September.
We should work on that.
But how does something happen like what Wendy just described, though? She's not out there working on the plants, and yet they look fantastic. What's the key to that? How could that possibly be?
I think it's a matter of general appearance. And she didn't address how the rest of the beds look, if there's a lot of weeds in there or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I did. There are totally weeds all over the place. So,
okay.
It doesn't look as pristine as it should, but honestly, everything, my lavender, I overwatered that last year because when you transplant something, the first thing you think, got to water it like
water.
Crazy, and I killed it. You also told me not to water it so much, so I ignored everything.
Well, I guess maybe there's such a thing as a weed mulch, and maybe since it's been dry, maybe the weeds are shading and not competing, and the hydrangeas are a little bit more established, and so it's keeping them from baking maybe a little bit.
And my goldenrod is going crazy right now. This is the time that it comes out. It's beautiful. It just kind of looks like green stalks. And then all of a sudden, like tails of gold just start in the fall. It's really beautiful. And you help people if you want to come up with different plants in your beds, which will bloom at different times.
Yes.
They can get help from that as well.
Of course. Absolutely.
We're getting a giant ash tree cut down in our backyard because it had the ash borer. Mm-hmm. Beetle, and it took us a while, but we're finally cutting it down. And they've cut half of it now, and some electrical wires are in the way, so ComEd's going to help. That tree will be gone. All of a sudden, we can see my back neighbor's entire garage and yard, and we have no privacy. Is now a good time to plant some shrubs or any choices of trees that would help kind of close up that area again, that don't get too tall to hit the wires?
Well, are you literally planting under the wires?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's where my backyard is. What am I?
Well, but you can't pull it in because usually the wires give you a 15 to 20 foot limit. And so that tends to limit you to an ornamental tree, a flowering tree.
I'm good with that, just so it covers the open area now that looks right in our neighbor's backyard.
Okay, and you get good sun there.
Yes.
Okay.
Now that the big dead ash tree is going to be gone, yes.
Okay. If one of the first things that you could do, the first thing that comes to mind would be to do a flowering crab. And so you can pick your color in red or pink or white. You can pick the shape, and you'll have great seasonal interest from that. You'll have great flowering in the spring.
Lots of crab apples in the yard, right?
There are some. There are two. One is called Donald Wyman, and one is called Red Jewel. And both of those have persistent berries that the birds won't take and they won't drop off. They just basically mummify over the course of the winter.
I'll have a mummy tree in my yard.
Yeah, yeah, but just in time for Halloween. But you can look at them all winter, and in a winter snowstorm, something like Red Jewel will have these beautiful red berries hanging on it.
Really?
That it almost looks like Christmas ornaments on it. And then finally, by March or April, they'll turn brown, but they're just no mess at all.
All right, I kind of like good. That.
And that gets about 15 to 18 feet tall and about 12 feet wide. Kind of, it's very oval and vase-shaped.
And that's good to fill out some of the area.
Yeah,
also, Rosa Sharon I could use.
That's not going to give you any coverage. That's a shrub. Wendy.
Come on.
I have a Rose of Sharon that got really big and blocks the side neighbor. We don't like to see our neighbors.
No,
and
it's
not that, honestly. But you do want a little privacy.
Naturalists usually want privacy.
Well, if you're in your yard, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but ordinarily, we would say Rose of Sharon is a shrub. And you typically would not get a lot of screening from that. When you say screening, I tend to think more of something that's going to be 12 to 15 or more feet tall and at least 8 to 10 feet wide.
Is that big enough for you?
Donald Wyman.
How much screening do you need?
Donald Wyman or Red Jewel is beautiful also.
Tony, you should know this about Wendy. They have a hot tub, and she and her husband are swingers, and they don't want the neighbors to see this. So the higher the
bush
is,
that's why I was
better.
Going for that instead
that
of
what
Rosa Sharon. Yeah,
right.
I got that look. I knew.
All right, maybe we'll just get a 6-foot cedar fence. Okay.
That'll work. And make Mexico pay for it. All right, let's take a quick break. Calls are coming in for Tony Fulmer. If you have a question about your gardening, 312-981-7200. He's never been stumped. I don't know how he does it. Stick around.
Stumped, I get it.
I
Good.
Get it. Oh. Ah, Phil and Wendy WGN.
Thank you, Lise. That was perfect. This should be Tony Fulmer's theme song.
When Tony calls me on my cell phone, this is the song that plays.
The ringtone?
That's right.
Yep.
The Chalet Nursery in Wilmette. Isn't it thechaletnursery.com?
www.chaletnursery.com, yes.
There you go. Some questions.
Great.
When and how do we plant new bulbs?
Okay. One of the things that you look for is, the thing to do would be to buy them right now and then store them where they're cool and dry so you get the very best selection, so you get the colors you want, especially if you're doing things like tulips. Buy them now and then store them in a dry place like the basement.
Because if you're trying to get allium, which are really cool, they're like a giant purple softball, mm-hmm. those sell out immediately.
Well, we always have them.
All right.
Do you?
Make a point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
We always make
they're
point.
The coolest things.
They're very cool, and they dry beautifully.
Yep.
So with the bulbs, buy them, and then you want to wait until probably mid-October. One of the worst things you can do is plant them too early. So I just started taking the soil temperature, so that'll be on our website now. I'll change that weekly. Soil temperature should be mid-50s. You want the soils cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to look at the website, then after we've had our first killing frost, so after your tomatoes, impatiens, coleus, begonias, anything like that has been killed by frost, typically there's a good association between that and the soil temperatures being cool enough to plant your bulbs. And then water when you put them in, and then if we don't get good deep soaking rains between now and the time the ground freezes, you want to water probably every 10 days because that stimulates root development, and they need to be rooted before the ground freezes.
All right. Please ask Tony, what do I do with my potted plants?
Potted plants that are outside?
Outside.
Okay.
Canna plants, is that?
Oh, cannas, okay. Cannas are something that you let go dormant, so let the frost or freeze kill those. And then you go out with a big, big, big shovel or big spade, and you try and dig up the clumps. They have big, long roots that are actually bulb-like, and they're very easy to store. You can put those in a box in the basement, so just cut the tops off, store them, and then you'll go and look at them in April, and you can take a knife, and there will be little tiny sprouts about every 3 or 4 inches on those, so you can, from what was one plant this year, you can have 5 or 6 or 8 plants next year. And they're very easy to store in the basement.
All right, Sally has a question. Sally, we're talking to Tony Fulmer from the Chalet Nursery. You can go to chaletnursery.com, and he is the chief horticulturist there. Hi, Sally.
Hi, how you doing, Lindy?
Good. Did you have a question for Tony?
Yes, I've got lots of crab apple trees in my yard.
Okay.
They seem to bloom in early spring and then lose all their leaves in the summer. And then this time of year, of course, they're dropping the little crab apples, but they look dead. There's just no foliage on them. Is that normal or?
That isn't. Are these fairly large, older trees?
Yes, they are.
Okay. That is a disease called apple scab, and it is something.
Sounds
that,
lovely.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Bill, do you have apple scab?
Can I take it off?
off to the free clinic. On the new varieties, the newer varieties are bred for having apple scab resistance. 25 years ago or more, we did not have varieties that had that. So when you have those varieties, if it's a problem, you want to keep the leaves off them, you need to spray them preventatively in the spring. Three applications of a fungicide. The first one would be made about the time the buds are swelling. You can see little tiny green tips. Then at 10-day intervals for a total of 3 applications of a general-purpose fungicide. So if you want to call me or contact me at Chalet, I can make a recommendation for you. It is that disease that disease is always going to be worse if the spring has been cold and wet.
Okay, well, I'm glad the mystery is finally solved. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Tony, we lost Grandma to apple scab. Do I need to be tested?
No, it is
I'm
not.
I'm okay? It doesn't carry over?
Well, actually, it skips a generation,
oh,
so you might be
Maybe
in line
I should
for
be
that.
Tested. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, Marilyn is on the line with a great question. Hi, Marilyn.
Yes, hi.
Hello, Marilyn.
My question is, I have a couple spots in my garden where the dog has messed them. They're burnt out spots, and I'm wondering what I can do about it this time of year.
Well, this is in the lawn or is this out in the garden?
This is in the lawn.
Where your dog has been relieving itself, right?
Okay.
Because we have some of those spots, too.
She has, yes.
Okay, you can put a very, very light application of gypsum on there to neutralize that, and then water, and then water to try and leach those salts through.
Okay.
I know there are pills. Good luck to you, Marilyn. They have pills that you can give your dog.
So the
chemical reaction doesn't cause brown spots?
Yes.
Does that work?
Yes, it does. And we actually have, and this really sounds like snake oil, but we have in our pet essentials department, we have a rocks from Australia that take the impurities out of the water, and you leave this in the dog's water bowl, and It really, really works.
Well, how is that possible? What's going on with rocks from Australia doing that?
There's something about the chemical composition of these rocks that they tie up the impurities that are in the water, and it makes a huge difference. We sell those day in and day out.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me, because if I, you know, without getting gross, you have rabbits and squirrels and other things that urinate in your yard and you don't have brown spots from it. It's just from the dog who is drinking house water.
Whatever reason,
that makes total sense.
Yeah,
yeah. So you leave them in the water, and then when you change the water, you leave them. You change the water, but you leave the rocks in there, and does an amazing job.
I may have to try the
rocks from Australia.
Rocks.
Do
I'm
it.
Blanking on the name of them right now.
Olivia Newton-John rocks.
She does.
I looked it up. She does. You can say what you want.
If not now, she used to.
She
still
does,
exactly.
I think.
I'm noticing on ChaletNursery.com that you have very cute puppies on there, so you do have a pet section there.
We do not sell animals, but we do. Yeah, we are doing, on a weekly basis, we are doing adoption events.
Oh, nice.
So,
very nice.
Yeah.
Wow. And the Olivia Newton-John rocks. I got to go get some.
Pick some up.
Tell us about...
I'll get you some for Christmas. How's that?
Oh.
You know what? I usually get coal in my stocking.
Not
this year.
This year.
Get rocks.
Now you get igneous rocks from Australia.
Awesome.
You're moving up.
I appreciate that. And tell us about your Scarecrow Fest that's going on at the Chalet.
Scarecrow Fest is this weekend, and there is no charge, and families show up, and you bring your own old clothes, and we provide the head, and we provide the straw, and we provide the markers or whatever you want to do to make the face. And then you stuff the bodies, and then we have all of the twine that you attach the heads to the bodies, and then you take those home.
That's outstanding.
Well, we have 850 heads made, so hopefully that will
will
cover. I mean, in the past, we have run out of heads, so people have gone home on Saturday night and had to make stuff heads, stuff burlap with straw overnight on their evening off on Saturday night. Talk about a great Saturday night activity.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is fun. We have so many questions that we don't have enough time to get to, but how do people get a hold of you? Tony Fulmer, Chief Horticulturist from the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette.
You can just call us at 847-256-0561 and ask for me, and I'll be glad to talk to you.
And ChaletNursery.com.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the gift for Kevin and Sarah.
That was so nice of you.
My pleasure.
Very, very nice, Tony.
My
Always
pleasure.
Great to see you.
Thank you.
Go visit Tony at the Chalet. We'll take a quick break, and then Steve with the news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.